DNA tests have revealed the builders of Stonehenge from 5,000 years ago. Could there be a link to the Nephilim? We're going to talk about that and so much more on today's Peck Report. Hey, everybody. Hope you're having a great week. Well, actually, weekend by the time you're watching this. I hope you're having a great weekend. We certainly are. How are you doing, Christina Peck, my lovely, beautiful wife?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Good to be back.
Yeah, glad to have you back. I'm glad that we're able to do this more often. So Stonehenge has always been a point of interest for me. It's something we've talked about before. Wondering about the origins of it, the purpose of it, and we actually got some pretty cool information for people for that today.
Yeah, I'm really excited to talk about it. Like you said, I've always watched like Travel Channel things on this, and always when things like this came on, we're always so excited to watch and see like new discoveries about it. So yeah, I'm happy.
Yeah, definitely. Turns out there's a lot of dark occultism around Stonehenge, which is probably pretty obvious. People probably already know a lot about that. But there's actually a strange connection to Mount Hermon. And so we got to talk about this. So DNA testing by scientists has revealed who actually built Stonehenge more than 5,000 years ago in the most recent scientific breakthrough having to do with Stonehenge. So Daily Star reported on this, says researchers have discovered the ancestors of the people who constructed the iconic stone circle originally came from the Mediterranean. So DNA was extracted from ancient human remains found in the UK and compared to that of people who lived in the same time across Europe. It was found that the early inhabitants of Britain originally traveled from Anatolia. Now, this is where it really gets interesting because that's modern day Turkey. To Iberia before heading to Britain. So if you look up some maps and you look at Turkey, so you have like Turkey up here, Syria is right under it, and then you have Lebanon. And Mount Hermon is actually located on the border between Syria and Lebanon. So we have in this same area, we have the where these people came from, that same area, that's where you have Stone, that's the builders of Stonehenge came from that. So is it possible, we talked about this yesterday on Peck Report, that ancient civilizations probably learned a lot of these magic rituals and occultism and all this stuff from the fallen angels that descended onto Mount Hermon, which we read about in the Book of Enoch, and it's commented on in Genesis 6, even though in Genesis 6 Mount Hermon isn't specifically mentioned, but that comes from the Book of Enoch. But this is all around that same area. So is it possible that there's a link here? And we're going to get to it a little bit later, but there's some background that we brought up of the ancient myths surrounding the origin of Stonehenge that seems to have something to do with the Nephilim. We're going to talk about that a little bit later, but it's kind of like what we were talking about yesterday, that these ancient civilizations, I mean, there's more and more evidence that keeps coming up every time they make a discovery like this, that there was intervention from the fallen angels, just like Genesis says.
Yeah, that definitely, you can see a pattern.
Mm-hmm.
You can see that it definitely came from a point of origin.
Right.
So I think it's fascinating.
Yeah.
I mean, even though it's kind of dark and
well, yeah,
but I mean, it's still fascinating. I like certain history like that, ancient history.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, and I always find these studies really, really cool. But so yeah, so that's what the DNA testing has revealed. So that leads us to me stalling for time because my web browser is not loading the page I was looking at.
Oh, no.
Sorry about that, everybody. Yeah, it's just a blank page now.
Oh, geez.
It's just an absolute blank page. Do you have the article up on your end?
I do.
Well, do you want to continue
all
while
right.
I work with this?
Okay, sure. I'll continue while you're having issues with the computer. So it goes on to say that the people would have arrived in Britain around 4,000 BC and that their ancestors went to build Stonehenge in around 3,000 BC. And then we have a picture, an aerial view. Let's go ahead and go there of Stonehenge. And see, it almost reminds me, honestly, of a what would be a tabernacle.
Yeah, yeah, it does kind of look like
that. See
the
outer, the inner, and then the innermost part. I'm not saying that it is at all. There's lots of evidence to point to some other dark ritualistic practices. So there was that.
All right,
that was
the
first
one.
You got it?
Yeah, I think I got it back up. Yeah, okay. So we're past that first picture there.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Yeah, and so the caption on that says Standing Stone. Stonehenge is one of Britain's biggest mysteries. And it's weird for how mysterious it is. There is actually quite a bit that's been learned about it. But this place is still being used. So it says new arrivals to the shores of ancient Britain became farmers and kept themselves separate from the indigenous people. And that's that they're deriving all this from the DNA studies, which is it's pretty interesting that they're
that
able
is
to
fascinating.
Get that much information
from DNA.
Yeah. And it says, and these migrants are understood to have brought the idea of building large stone circles just like Stonehenge. So it came from them. I mean, it you know, says these farming migrants eventually took over the population of Britain, driving the locals into a small part of Scotland. And co-author Professor Mark Thomas from UCL said he believes it was the sheer numbers of the farmers that led to the replacement. So here's another picture, and we can actually see here that modern Druids still use Stonehenge today for ceremonies.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot of this stuff has been lost to history, what exactly Stonehenge was used for or how it was used, but it's not stopping occultists and Druids and, you know, people today still gathering there to practice their dark arts and, you know, God knows what else they're doing or for what
earth
purpose.
Worship.
Yeah, there's another pretty cool picture here too. This is this one here is Stonehenge's construction is believed to be linked to the sun and the moon, but this is Stonehenge at sunrise. So
that's the solstice, isn't it?
Yeah, and you can kind of see the shadows of people there, but it's the same, you know, idea. These occultists still use this ancient site for who knows what. And there's been a lot of reports of weird stuff happening there, weird sightings, and you always hear about like UFOs or people seeing demons and stuff out there. I've never been to Stonehenge. If any of you have been to Stonehenge, leave us a comment. What did it feel like while you were there? Did you feel anything different, or was it just like any other ancient site? Like was there something special about it or not? I've heard from people who have been there saying that there's just something off about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard the same thing. I remember on the Travel Channel one time, you and I were watching some more mysteries unveiled of Stonehenge and things. And the way that the sound bounced off the stones mm-hmm. was almost hypnotic.
Yeah.
And how this guy kind of they were beating the drums.
Yeah.
And they could, like, he could kind of feel himself just disappearing.
Weird.
It was very strange.
Yeah.
And so they believe that they did that. They used a lot of the music because the acoustics in the, you know, from the stones mm-hmm. to kind of go into their trances.
Yeah, probably. I mean, that's probably what a lot, and that's probably why you see a lot of those stone circles and why the stones had to be so big and everything. And it says that scientists believe these farmers would have had paler skin with brown eyes and black or dark brown hair. Those white people again. They're to blame for everything.
Oh, my word.
It says, meanwhile, the hunters native to ancient Britain would have had dark skin with blue eyes. I am not going to make a joke about that one. Mm-mm. Britain underwent another population shift again in around 2450 BC when the Bell Beaker people moved over from mainland Europe. So the revelation comes as the mysteries of Stonehenge still loom, with the monument near Salisbury being one of the best examples of prehistoric Britain. You know, I remember there's another picture we're going to look at in a second, but I remember Doc Marquis did a whole study into Stonehenge, and specifically Salisbury.
Yeah.
And he found so much, like there's such a concentration of occultic happenings there. Mm-hmm. Like UFO sightings are through the roof, like off the charts in just that one area. And then around the rest of the country, you don't really see it a whole lot. But there's all sorts of sightings and reports of just weird stuff in just that area. I think Stonehenge was used to open a doorway a long time ago.
They call it a hotspot.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a big hotspot for sure.
Well,
yeah.
And it makes sense. I mean, if there is a link to Mount Hermon, and if the fallen angels taught ancient man how to create these stone circles for doorways so more of them could mm-hmm. come through, that very well could make a lot of sense. So here's another picture, and it says this is a painting of what Stonehenge may have looked like in its heyday. I don't know who painted this, but so that's an idea of what it might have looked like. You know, of course, there's embellishments and things, and nobody really knows. But so
it's interesting if you take a look at the picture, though.
Uh-huh.
You see the artist how there's serpents.
Yeah.
That's very interesting. Why the use of the serpent?
Where are the serpents?
On the cloth.
Oh yeah, you're right. I missed that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. See? And that's a whole other big thing too, because I mean, you have not only do you have stone circles and stuff like Stonehenge, but you also have mounds and serpent mounds and
yes.
stuff like that. I mean, the idea of the serpent, you know, Leviathan, the agent of chaos. I mean, that goes back. To the beginning. That goes back before the beginning. You know, I mean, in the book of Genesis, when God started creating everything, Leviathan was already subdued.
Yes.
Which,
very fascinating.
Yeah, that'll have to be a whole other Peck report. I actually did, like, I think a 4.5 hour long teaching on
you
just
did.
Leviathan.
You did that. It yeah. was... So, I edited that.
Yeah. Yeah, so people are interested in that. If you just type in my name and Leviathan, you'll get a whole bunch of stuff come up. But I'm fascinated with mm-hmm. that. So then it says, it is unknown exactly what Stonehenge was used for, but theories suggest it was part of religious ceremonies, which is a nice way of saying occultic ceremonies, demonic ceremonies. Construction started on the project around 3000 BC, and the last stone was laid around 1500 BC. So, geez, it took 1500 years just to move some rocks?
Bunch of lazy architecture.
I mean, I guess, maybe, but...
1500 years to lay some stones. My gosh.
I wonder if they knew it was going to take that. Like, this is going to take 1500 years to build. I would just, it seems like people today would be just like, let's just not do
it. Let's forget it.
We'll do something else. We'll farm.
Wait, yeah, food. Food's more important than rocks.
Right. Says, scholars believe Stonehenge may have been used in rituals linked to the worship of the sun and the moon. At least 1,303 stone circles can be found across Britain. So it's a popular thing for that area. Very insane stuff. We do have to get to the myths, the ancient myths surrounding Stonehenge, because there's a lot here that I think does lay a solid case for there being a connection with the Nephilim. But before we get to that, we have got to tell our chronic pain suffering friends how they can get some help. So let's start with CBD. I think that's a great place to start. CBD Pure and CBD Pets. So it's not only for human, it's for pets as well. But if you're suffering physically, like I am, I'm a chronic pain sufferer. A lot of people have found relief in CBD oil, even if you're not physically suffering in that way. But if you have insomnia or you just need to relax and chill out sometimes, you know, if you got a lot of anxiety and stress, I've heard people say that if you take this an hour before bedtime every day, it just changes your life. Like you sleep better, you have a lot less anxiety, you a lot less stress. This even though it's CBD oil, this stuff does not get you high or anything like that. So if people are totally unfamiliar with it, it doesn't do anything like that. It's not like a drug like that. You could think of it more as like a supplement or something. But yeah, you take this stuff, and a lot of people have said that they feel better. So what I really like about CBD Pure and CBD Pets, though, is it's a completely transparent company. So you know that every batch is scientifically tested through a third-party testing facility. So they're not even affiliated with one another, so there's no bias. And they put those tests on their website to show that every batch they make is completely pure. It is organic, non-GMO, pesticide-free. They don't even use pesticides. It's the purest CBD on the market today. So you want to check that out. Go to dailyrenegade.com. And we're still working on the website. So if the banner is not up, just click on the link in the description below. You'll be able to find it there. CBD Pure and CBD Pets. Also, while you're there, check out our friends at Coastline Kratom. I use Kratom every single day. I had some right before we started recording the show, in fact. This to me works better than CBD, but with other people, Kratom doesn't work at all for them, but CBD has been the game changer. So that's why we tell you about both. Coastline Kratom offers a money-back guarantee, so if you try it, you don't like it, you can send it back. Same with the CBD stuff we talked about. They offer money-back guarantees as well. But I take Kratom every day. It's given me my life back. I don't have to be on opioids anymore. I was hopelessly addicted to narcotics years ago, and I got off of them. And I take Kratom now. I'm clear-headed all the time. And again, you don't like get high from it. The first couple of times you take it, if you've never taken it before, you might get a little bit of a buzz. It sort of feels like if you drink a lot of coffee, but not like the heart racing anxiety, like not like that. It's just kind of, it sort of feels like you had a lot of coffee, but that goes away if you use it regularly, like I do. But yeah, I take it every day and I feel great. I'm able to play with the kids. I wasn't able to do that before. I was bedridden, before. I couldn't do anything. And you know, my bone disease really took a lot out of me, but Kratom gave me my life back. So I want to tell everybody about it, even though YouTube hates it when I do this. YouTube has deleted videos where I talk about Kratom in more detail, but those videos do exist at dailyrenegade.com if you're a member. But check out Coastline Kratom. It's an absolutely fantastic company. It's great Kratom. They got a lot of different strains and strengths. So depending on your tolerance, I suggest if you're brand new to it, get the beginner's enhanced pack. So then that way you can really test out your tolerance. If it turns out that you do have a higher tolerance, then you have the enhanced strain. So it's a little bit stronger. But if you have a low tolerance, then you can just take a little bit of this stuff and make it last. Listen, you're going to want to stock up. The DEA is coming after Kratom. It has been for quite some time, and it's only a matter of time before this stuff gets banned forever. The pharmaceutical companies are threatened by Kratom, so of course they're going to try to shut it down. So stock up while you can. Now, when you click on the link in the description below, it'll take you to Coastline Kratom, and you will have to set up a Zelle Pay account because there's just a bunch of political garbage around the sale of Kratom. But don't worry, it's very easy, and it is worth it. It just takes a second. You can do it right on the website at Coastline Kratom. You can do it right there. It only takes a second, super easy. And then you have the freedom to buy as much Kratom as you want. So I suggest you do that. You can get that from the link in the description below, or if the banners are up at dailyrenegade.com, then you can go there. But best case scenario, just click on the link in the description below. Okay, so we talked about CBD, we talked about Kratom, we talked about Stonehenge. I think we need to tell people how they can become members. I think it's that time. What do you think?
Yes, I agree. To become a member, you just go to dailyrenegade.com and you can become a member there. I'm sure there's a link in this description below that you can click on, and it will take you to a membership become a member. And you should, because you'll get this show. And
the
you'll
get a
full version of the show. You'll get other shows like Apollineering and Z-Files with Jason and Lauren Z. And we have Gary Wayne.
Yeah, Christian Contrarian. Excellent show. He's absolutely brilliant.
I know. And then you'll get one with me. So not just this one. You'll get one with me. Not just this show. I have another show. It's you got to do it. Ladies. Come on. You got to do it. It's about a show about women glorifying God. Come on. You know you want to.
And men, come on. She's gorgeous. Just get a membership. Come on. A pretty lady is telling you to buy a membership. Bella, she's my wife. Knock it off.
I'll sell it for you, baby.
But yeah, you do want to become a membership. We got a lot of great shows that YouTube will not allow on their platform. With YouTube, you get bits and pieces of things, but we always have to be really careful, and we have to like put up graphics, and we have to do a whole bunch of garbage just so YouTube will allow our shows to be on their platform. But if you go and become a member at dailyrenegade.com, you don't have to worry about that. You just get the full shows just exactly how they are, the fully produced, all the information, and we have something like 12 or 13 shows now to choose from, so you're gonna find something you like. We're basically like the Netflix for fringe Christian stuff.
Yeah, no, it's great. And that's another thing I had mentioned when we started talking about bringing on all these other people. Mm-hmm. And you know, a lot of Christians out there have stopped their Netflix their Netflix account.
Yeah,
because
Netflix is terrible and evil.
because of things that, you know, Netflix openly supports that mm-hmm. a lot of Christians don't, and a lot of Christians have decided to, you know, forego paying their $7.99, or now it's $10.99. It was $7.99 yeah. years ago.
Netflix
now
is more expensive than Daily Renegade is.
Yes. So I think it's like between $10 and $12 for a
Netflix subscription. Yeah, something
but
like that.
With Daily Renegade, it's $10 a month.
$10 a month or $100 a year, however you wish to do it. I suggest doing the $100 a year. That might seem like a lot of money to drop all at once, but it's actually, you're actually saving money. You get 2 months for free doing it that way instead of the $10 a month. You know, technically the $10 a month is better for us, but you know, that doesn't matter. We wanna serve you.
What's
so.
Best for our customers?
Yeah, we wanna do what's gonna be best for you guys,
our
for
viewers.
Our members. And so the $100 a year, I think I would suggest doing it that way because you only have to do it once, you don't have to worry about it for a whole year, and you get 2 months for free. So make sure you do that. DailyRenegade.com. You can check out all the information there. And we're building an amazing site for our members where you'll be able to set up your own profile. You'll be able to do friend request stuff, and you'll be able to have like a list of your favorite Daily Renegade videos. Look, don't support Netflix. Come and support us. Also, unlike Netflix, we actually support some very good causes and ministries and things. Mm-hmm. You know, while Netflix wants to support this pro-choice, you know, pro-abortion, pro-death garbage, we don't do that. We actually, one of the ministries that we support is on the pro-life side, and they go and try to educate people, usually at abortion clinics, and they try to educate people who are going in for abortions. And it's not like this big protest thing where people are all angry, you know. Pro-lifers aren't like that. They mm-hmm. they go there lovingly to try to tell women that there is another option available. So we support a ministry that does that. We also support two ministries that their whole focus is Israel and spreading the gospel to the Jewish people, to our Jewish friends, because they need to know who their Messiah is. Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, and you know, we should if we're gonna love everybody, you know, we should want to get them saved. And if we can get Jewish people saved, I think we'd be in a lot better shape. So you know, because with all this stuff with the Third Temple and they're looking for a Messiah, and which is probably going to be the Antichrist. There's just a lot of good reason why we would want Jewish people to become Christians. So we support two ministries that do that, and then we also support St. Jude. So 20% of anything that comes in, including your membership fees, 20% of all of that goes to these ministries. So you're not only supporting us, but you're supporting some really fantastic causes as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love St. Jude.
Yeah. Well, they cured our son of cancer. So, I mean, yeah, that, of course. So they're great.
They're incredible.
Yeah. And so go to dailyrenegade.com, become a member today. So we are going to talk about the Nephilim origin myth of Stonehenge, but that is going to be for members only. So if you are viewing this for free, thank you so much. Please, everybody, subscribe to this channel. Like us on Facebook. Click the bell on YouTube for notifications. Because YouTube will not notify you, and they'll probably delete your subscription. They've been doing that a lot lately. And they've been doing a lot to mess with our views. They've been deleting our tags. It is a mess. So eventually what we want to do is just do members-only stuff and not even deal with YouTube.
I know. With YouTube, when I started at the beginning of the year working for you,
yeah.
before we started this, you would look at the videos like, why didn't you finish this word? Why did you just like have half a word? I was like, I didn't. I put in all 500 characters for tags. And you're like, no, you didn't. And I was like, I swear I did.
Yeah,
we found out that YouTube was deleting the tags.
Yeah.
And if you go back right now
and look at the past two PEC reports, the tags are probably fixed now, but you'll see that they have a much lower view count than all the other ones. It's because YouTube did that right before it went live, and so we can't always catch it because sometimes they do it right before or during the premiere or something, and it's it, it, it they're trying to censor us. They're trying to stifle us. They're trying to shut us down. But they know they don't have a legal reason to do it. They don't have like an actual guideline that we broke. And I you know, we also have some influence. I mean, we've had people, we've asked you people to email them before. So I think that they're doing it in the sneaky, shadowy way to try to, because I have emailed them about this kind of stuff before, and they just deny everything.
Of course,
they just say it's our fault, or basically our show isn't any good or something, and that's why people aren't watching.
And it's hard because this, we are right at like the point where we have enough subscribers to have attention, but it's
not we're not bringing in enough to hire a lawyer.
We're not bringing in anything to hire a lawyer.
Yeah, and even
I know,
if we could hire a lawyer, I mean, there are much bigger channels than ours that hire lawyers,
and they
still have problems.
I know.
Like Louder with Crowder. Steven Crowder has like over 4 million subscribers,
and
they
still has so much trouble.
Yeah, and they have a lawyer like that just works there all the time and does nothing but defend them, and they still got demonetized.
I know.
So they're coming for you.
I know.
They're coming for us. They're coming for you. That's why we built Daily Renegade, so we can still all have our community together. And so go and become a member. All right, we're going to talk about Nephilim Stonehenge, but that's going to be for members only. Everybody else, thank you so much for joining us. And until next time, take care and God bless. Okay, members only, thank you for your membership and for being a part of the Daily Renegade family. So there's some really interesting stuff about the history and mythology surrounding Stonehenge. So I doubt anybody is just joining us, but just a little bit of a background on Stonehenge. It's the most famous prehistoric megalithic, you know, standing stone monument site in Europe. It's located 13 kilometers or 8 miles north of Salisbury in Wiltshire, England. And that area has so much occult activity, like we talked about in the first half. This ancient stone arrangement, it contains over 150 rocks, some weighing about 41 metric tons, the equivalent to the weight of 6 elephants. People have traveled from far and wide to see the monument for thousands of years, but still the mystery remains. Who built it? How did they do it? Well, here is, this is the myth. So according to ancient myths, this is really interesting. Dancing giants were caught in sunbeams and petrified to stone, forming Stonehenge. And later the monument was nicknamed the Giant's Ring because of this. So Stonehenge was as well woven into the earliest Arthurian legends. And the stones were also believed to have mystical and magical power. So dancing giants, according to mythology, were caught in sunbeams and petrified to stone. That to me sounds like a mixture of obviously the giant, the accounts of the giants, the Nephilim in the Bible, but also Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah,
because
of a pillar of salt.
Pillar of salt. Yeah, Lot's wife, she looked back. And I've always wondered, Sodom and Gomorrah, I don't think that the main sin was homosexuality.
No, I'm sure there's a lot more than that.
I think that was a part of it, but I think that they were actually trying to call down the angels once again to mate with them and to bring the Nephilim back, to bring the giants back.
Well, think about it, because if homosexuality was the only sin, then we would have been destroyed a long time ago, like America.
Right.
You know, because look at today. Today, it's everywhere. It's in your face.
Yeah.
So they had to have been doing something more.
And when you do like a word study into all these terms, like strange flesh and all of that, when I think it's the book of Jude does a good comparison of what happened when the angels fell and mated with humankind, that compared with Sodom and Gomorrah, surprisingly. I think it's in Jude. It's Jude or 2 Peter or one of those. Or maybe it's both, but there is a connection there. I mean, I do think that they were practicing homosexuality as an occult. An occult practice to you know, try to bring something in. But I think what they were really after were angels. So when those angels came to town, I think that that's why they were just so like crazy, like trying to rape them and stuff.
Yes.
Because I think that they recognized that they were angels.
Yeah,
because
they were like, hey, you know, those two people you came in, or those two men you came with, let them come down here. We want to get to know them. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, I think they... I think they either knew or they had an idea that they might be angels.
Yep.
And I think that they were trying to get, you know, Genesis 6 started up again.
Yes.
I mean, the enemy has been trying to bring the giants back forever.
Yep.
That might be what aliens are. You know, we don't know for sure, but there's always been some attempt at that. So it's this mythology to me, sounds like a mix of those two. So, you know, there obviously is a Nephilim type of connection with Sodom and Gomorrah because it sounds like they were trying to bring these things back. Who knows? Maybe they were successful because we know that the giants did return after the flood. So somehow the giants were able to come back. And we don't know how that happened, but maybe it was through some occult ritual. Maybe they were starting to be successful, and maybe that's why God had such a harsh judgment. But if any of those mythologies escaped, or any of those, you know, histories really escaped, because as we talked about in the first half, this would have been around the same area as Mount Hermon, not exactly in the same area, but just north of it, around the same area. So it makes sense why that history, that mythology would have followed these ancient, you know, people through the generations as they made their way over to Britain and then created this stone circle, probably in another attempt to somehow bring back the giants. I bet you anything, if you looked into ancient occultism around Stonehenge, I bet you anything you would find the practice of homosexuality.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I believe that for sure. And there's a lot of other writings in from Central America about these strange giants coming ashore, and they practice homosexuality.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's documented, you know, it's probably a historical, you know, accurate sighting.
Yeah, it's all over in that area. So it says, excavations and radiocarbon dating have revealed that Stonehenge has an exceptionally long history of use as a ceremonial or religious center or both. Stonehenge was constructed in three major phases over the period from around 3500 BC to 1100 BC. It originally began as a circular ditch, including a bank with a ring of 56 burial pits named Aubrey Holes for their 17th century discoverer, John Aubrey. And around 2100 BC, a double circle of bluestone menhirs, or large rough-hewn standing stones thought to have come from the Preseli Mountains of southwestern Wales, was erected within the earlier ring. In the final stages of construction from around 2000 BC, a circle of about 30 upright stones made from local sandstone called sarsen were set up, their tops linked by lymphal stones to form a continuous circle about 30 meters, 100 feet across. And at a later date, around 1550 BC, the blue stones were finally rearranged in the circle, and horseshoe whose remains survive today. So it's unique because its long period of use and the precision of the plan and its architectural details. The traditional thesis that Stonehenge was a Druid temple is untenable because the Druids did not appear in Britain until a few hundred years before the Christian era. You know, I think that there was probably a more ancient people that used it, and then the Druids came in and just used it because it was there. But
yeah.
Well, I mean, of course that's what happened because that's what those DNA tests revealed.
That's exactly what, yeah, I was just about to say that, so.
Yeah.
Beat me to it. Ah.
Yeah, it says, in recent years, many attempts have been made to interpret Stonehenge as a prehistoric astronomical observatory or some form of solar temple, but the site is now so ruined and so much restored that any attempt to ascertain its original alignments must rely principally on guesswork. So all that can be said with confidence is that from around 2000 BC onward, the structure axis of symmetry pointed roughly in the direction of the sunrise at the summer solstice. Last little bit here, modern science has begun to shed some light on Stonehenge's mysteries, but most of its secrets remain as elusive and intriguing as ever. Stonehenge is and always will be not only the ultimate symbol of prehistoric achievement, but one of the past's most enduring mysteries. That comes from Occultopedia, if people are interested in checking that out. But yeah, so I personally think that that's exactly what's going on. And I think that this originated with the Nephilim, it originated with the fallen angels. And they cohabited with mankind. Giants were born, you know, unto them. And then the fallen angels and the giants, they're teaching the rest of humanity, you know, all these dark occult things. Well, it was the fallen angels doing it, but I think the Nephilim worshipped or accepted worship from humans as if they were gods, because they wanted to be. And so that is looked at, that time is looked at in even occult circles today, is looked at as the golden age, yeah, where gods walked among men. You know, they don't see the Nephilim the way we see them, as these demonic hybrids. They see them as like the gods of old, the gods of enlightenment. Mm-hmm. And there's been...
They brought them knowledge.
They brought them knowledge. Yeah, exactly. And there's modern pushes and efforts made to bring these things back. I think that that's what a lot of drives the transhumanism stuff and the hybridization of different animals and all that. I think that even if the humans who are involved in it don't know it, there's a spirit behind it. And I think it's this spirit to bring back that golden age, which we read about in Revelation. And God's not too happy when that age finally comes.
No, not at all. And like you said, bringing it in through transhumanism, trying to be as gods, mm-hmm, again, you know, like wanting to be like these ancient things of old that brought, that did so many supernatural things,
yeah,
you know, taught them so much about like how to greatly disobey God. But you know, I mean, it, that's, they taught women how to abort babies, they taught them how to, you know, be more enticing and, you know, mm-hmm, things like that. It's all these terrible things. And now we're back to that.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that we're being ushered into the end times pretty fast. I don't think it's going to be that much longer before that golden age does return, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, of course, we don't see it as a golden age at all, but it's a very demonic age. But we know who the god of this world is, and we know the deceptions and all of that. So it shouldn't come as a surprise, but that also should motivate us more to get out there and evangelize. Because ultimately, like we've said on basically every Peck report, ultimately the solution to all this stuff is Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
All of it is Jesus. You get somebody saved, they're not going to be as tempted to be like a transhuman or something like that.
Right.
So ultimately... we just got to get people saved. We have to tell people about Jesus Christ, and that is a solution.
You know what our daughter asked me, our 8-year-old asked me the other day. We were in the car on our way home, and she said, "Mom, what if you lived forever on Earth?" I said, "I would be pretty bored."
Yeah.
I don't want to live forever. Mm-hmm. I don't see the appeal of it. I'm not, you know, I mean, nobody really wants to die, but nobody, I mean, it doesn't scare me.
Right.
Death doesn't scare me. It, but honestly, like, I would really get sick of life really quick.
Seems like it just drives somebody crazy after a while, you know, because...
Yeah. You don't go anywhere or do anything. You're just...
What's the purpose? I mean, how do you not just fall headfirst into nihilism if you're able to live forever? Or even just a really long time, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, even like, you know, if you were able to live for a couple thousand years, I think that that would just be so maddening, you know? And it's weird to think about, but... Yeah, that's what they're bringing into the world. That's what they want to do. They want to drive people crazy. And we do have that weird prophecy in Revelation that says men will seek death but shall not find it.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the deal with that? You know, I don't know. And you know, maybe the transhumanists will find a way.
Yeah, exactly. So if you're mostly like let's see, cyborg-ish, mm-hmm, then,
or even uploaded into a computer or something. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it depends on how metaphysical you want to interpret,
right,
Revelation, because there's the scorpions
be
and they are torturing mankind, so it seems like they still have human bodies,
yeah,
or something, you know, something. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see, I guess.
Yeah.
Hopefully we won't be here. But...
I don't want to be here for that.
Well, I would like to know what all of you guys think about this. Leave us a comment in just write in the comments on this page that you're viewing this on, the Daily Renegade website. Also, if you have any problems with the website, or if you have any suggestions for things that might make it run better, or something you would like to see, you can email me at joshpeckdisclosure@gmail.com, and we'd be happy to look at your suggestions. Like I said, ultimately, we are building this for you guys. We're building it for us, too, because we want a place where we can can fellowship with you guys and not worry about being censored. That's why all this stuff about homosexuality, there's no way YouTube would have allowed that, what we've been talking about on the second half. And that's why we have to have this.
We got to be really sneaky about this.
Yeah. Ultimately, I would love it if we just get out of YouTube completely, because it's a demonic platform. Just get out of YouTube completely and we just strictly have Daily Renegade membership. And I think we'll be able to get there someday.
We are definitely going to get there someday. Yeah. I'm going to work on trying to get on Roku, all that fun stuff.
Yeah.
And it takes cool time and it takes, you know, funding, but we'll get there eventually. Yep. It is what it is.
We got some cool stuff coming, everybody. So stay tuned, stay with us. I think that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for joining us on today's Peck Report. And until next time, take care. God bless.